Good morning. Last week, Leanne was talking to us about the theme of hope in Colossians chapter 1, a hope that rises of voices saying that Jesus is not enough. And Paul returns to his theme of Jesus is enough in this chapter, chapter 2. First of all, he sets his aim out for the Colossians in verses 2 to 3. And what an aim that is. Read earlier by Jim. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may be, that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul adds to this his vision for the believers there using two metaphors. Now remember a few weeks ago how Moira uncovered for us the beauty and power of metaphor and challenged us to use our imaginations more when we listen to God's word. Well, here is the perfect opportunity. Two metaphors of gardening and building in verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Rooted in Christ, a gardening image, and built up in Christ, a building image. I'm going to use the gardening image this morning, but I urge you to let your imaginations run away with you using either of them, of these pictures. Either now or in the days to come, what does it mean for us to be rooted in Christ, and what does it mean for us to be built up in Christ? As usual, Paul was addressing a particular set of circumstances, of which we're only partially aware. The problem was that there was a dubious philosophy circulating in Colossae. Let's call it fake news. We don't really know exactly what it was, and there are shed loads of books written about what it might have been. We do get some clues from the text, and we know from history something about the other religions going around at that time and in that area. We also know that the Colossians were outsiders. They weren't Jews, and they weren't even Greeks. Now, we all know that if you're an outsider, it's even more difficult to refute the arguments of those who have power, who belong more, or who have some special knowledge. The Colossians were very vulnerable to fake news. The main points of the teaching which was going around seemed to be, Jesus is not enough. You are not really Christians at all. Secondly, you need to add some things onto your faith to make it real, or you have to take some things away that are some things you shouldn't be doing to be real Christians. A form of legalism. So, for example, what are the things that we might add on to our salvation? You need to have special spiritual experiences. You need to take part in certain spiritual practices, attend certain meetings, perhaps of particular ways of understanding God's word, ways of how you dress, what you eat or drink, what you don't eat or drink, how you look. And that would be the second thing. The third thing was that the body is evil and needs to be treated severely. So denying it or punishing it makes you more spiritual. And just in passing, on a bit of a tangent, I just wanted to observe that the obsession we have in our culture with our bodies and how they look, and the horrible pressure which especially young people have as a matter of course, seems to me to come from a similarly wrong understanding of our bodies as somehow not good enough, even if it's expressed completely differently in this case. Our bodies were created by God, and that is where their worth lies. We as humans are nothing if not creative in the ways we find to judge and criticize one another and ourselves. This, says Paul, is exactly not what the church should be like. All this fake news leads to a very distorted image of God, and that in turn leads us to a very distorted image of ourselves. And so the spiral downwards continues. The image of God that you're left with is something like this. God doesn't really love us, and he certainly doesn't like us very much. He's just waiting to catch us out when we feel his grace is not enough for us. Our acceptance by him depends on what we do. Our bodies, and in fact, the whole of the created world, is somehow evil and something to be fought against. Paul rejects this teaching as hollow, deceptive, and nothing to do with Christ, all show and no substance. Let's go back to the gardening image. God's intention for all life, including human life, is to flourish and bear fruit. Jesus is the soil in which we are rooted. So, it's about relationship, not rules. Not so much about rule following, but about living out our relationship with Jesus. Not so much about effort and willpower as relationship and grace. Of course, that's not to say that there may not be an ongoing program of weed removal and pruning occasionally. The following chapter of Colossians, chapter 3, shows us that being a Christian doesn't mean that it's necessarily a good idea to do exactly what you want any old time. Sorry, folks. But how you act is something which comes out of your relationship with Christ, not something which is a condition for having that relationship. So what should our response be? Here are some pictures of West Glasgow's extended family, many of whom have been able to be part of our services in the past few months. Maybe not the horse, actually, but some of the others. And I'm just going to flip through these animals as I talk. I particularly liked Fiona the hamster, but there's a pastor that I admire very much, and she writes some prayers and thoughts every Sunday. And a couple of weeks ago, she wrote her thoughts on animals, which I find very relevant to what Paul is saying here in Colossians. She's prompted by Psalm 148, amongst others, to note that as all creation is being urged to praise God, sea creatures, things which creep on the earth, mountains, etc., the humans are listed after the cattle. And she wonders whether this is because humans are more complicated and not so good at just being. The way which most created things praise God is just by being themselves. Creeping things praise God simply by creeping on the earth. Trees praise God by being trees. Their being is in itself praise to God, the source of their being. Equally, creation doesn't get its value from what it can do or what it owns or how it looks. Its value rests in its createdness. So, am I saying be more dog, or indeed be more cat, be more guinea pig, or even more tree? Well, not really, obviously. But do be more yourself. Become what you are in Christ. This is a theme in the Gospels and in Paul's writing. Become what you already are in Christ. Being what you were created to be, what you are being recreated by God to be. Redeemed humans should be more fully human than anyone, just like Jesus was. Secondly, be agents of God's freedom. While I was reflecting on this passage, I was also reading the novel Shuggy Bain by Douglas Stewart. It's shortlisted for the Booker Prize this year and is a heartbreaking and compelling story set in 1980s Glasgow housing schemes, a beautifully written glimpse into one family's struggle to survive against the odds of poverty and addiction. It doesn't seem right to talk about freedom without acknowledging that for many people, the idea of being free in Christ, or in fact in any other way, is a challenge just because of the circumstances of their lives. We've all experienced and are experiencing curbs on our freedom at the moment, and in some small way, it gives us more insight into what it means for many who live their whole lives in a struggle to survive. Those in poverty, those who are ill, the homeless, the refugees, the enslaved. We know that the church in Colossae had slaves amongst its number, and we also know from chapter 3 the call to the church to live in compassion and look after one another. So my point is really to urge us to keep in our minds and hearts how, as we live in the freedom of Christ, we can seek to share that freedom with others, as well as working to bring physical freedom and God's values to the world we live in. The image shows some of the ways in which we in West Glasgow are or can be involved. I'm sure there are many more, but this is just a small selection of some of the things that go on. Freedom in Christ is not about rescue from a totally evil world, but is about Jesus rightly reclaiming the world as his and calling us to be his agents of freedom in it, to be his agitators here for the values of his kingdom, rooted in him and nothing else. Thirdly and finally, be thankful. We see in the verses 6 and 7 that we read at the beginning that it ends with urging us to be overflowing with thankfulness. It's very easy these days to complain, and I see that in myself very much. On the other hand, COVID-19 has in some ways helped us to be thankful for the small things. Some people are very gifted at being thankful, and I think we can learn a lot from them. As we listen now to some music and look again at some of the images from this morning, let's be thankful for our freedom from legalism and for our freedom to grow up in Christ Jesus. Also our freedom to share that freedom with others. And to take some time now to reflect on what God is saying in his word to us.
Freedom is coming, oh yes I know. Freedom is coming, oh yes I know.
Freedom is coming, oh yes I know. Freedom is coming, oh yes I know. Freedom is coming, oh yes I know. Freedom is coming, oh yes I know.
Jesus is coming, oh yes I know.
Good morning, everyone. Graham has asked me to introduce our favourite song. And it's always difficult when you think about a favourite song, what are you going to choose? So I went back to Colossians 2 and read that in the Message. And for me, the main theme of that chapter is the centrality of Christ. So I could have chosen a number of songs, but the one I've gone for is one of my favourites that was introduced to West Glasgow by our praise group quite a number of years ago now, and that's Cornerstone by Hillsong. And to me, it does speak totally to the centrality of Christ. But what I'd like you to do, I've chosen a video that has no distracting pictures or video shots of amazing nature scenery. I've just chosen one with the music and the singing and the lyrics. What I'd like you to do is, when we get to the second chorus, I'd like you maybe to close your eyes and to picture yourself standing in the assembly hall of Clevedon School with your brothers and sisters in the West Glasgow family, singing the song along with each other. And hopefully that will encourage us all to stay safe and stay strong until we meet again.
It's hot.
Unchanging grace. In him he found honor, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne.
My name is Scott Harris.
Hello, West Glasgow from Luxembourg. Hello, West Glasgow from Luxembourg. It's lovely to be able to join you from all the way over here. One thing that I'm really thankful for this year is that I've been able to join you every week, all because of these rules of isolation. And just to be clear, I'm not so thankful for the rules or the technology here. What I'm thankful for are the people that have gone out of their way to organise and enable these services to take place. So really, it's the community that I'm grateful for. Which brings me on to the communion that Graham has asked me to introduce. So I'll read Matthew 26:26-28. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the bread and wine, such simple symbols of your love and sacrifice for us. Help us to remember your love and forgiveness in our lives, in all that we say and do. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Graham. And I liked what Graham said there about there's so many people in the community doing the service like this. It is a wee bit like working on the PA team when so many of us are rushing around and plugging in things and unplugging things, and when things don't quite go right, we try and make them right. But I mean, I need to thank Fiona, Jim, James, Graham, Andy especially, and Lynn Harvey. So there's a lot of people. And in some ways it's been great because it just emphasises the fact that what West Glasgow is very much about are there are lots of teams of people, overlapping teams in many places, doing things for each other. So it's been I think as Dick asked me to say, sometimes there's an awful lot going on. Yes, it's been an interesting service this morning. So thanks to everybody for making it a pleasurable experience for me anyway, and hopefully we all got something out of that. Before we ask Andy to share what Lynn's got on the selfies from our prayer posters, let's just give thanks to God for the service. May the God of peace provide us with every good thing we need in order to do his will. And may he, through Jesus Christ, do in us what pleases him. And to Christ be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, hopefully Lynn's got some stuff here now for a prayer poster. And it's been good to see everyone this morning. I didn't quite realise, but there's over 67 participants on the wee thing that's on here on the Zoom. So presumably that means if there's at least 67, if not over 100 people sharing in our service this morning. So I'm sure we'll meet again. God bless.
is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day. Is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day. Love is down.
tuna fleets clearing the sea out. See the bay.